And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. We're talking NIL today, and I know sometimes that makes people's eyes glaze over, but since Stuart Mandel put this story out last Friday about a class of 2023 five-star player getting a deal that could guarantee up to $8 million over the next three-ish, four-ish years, it's suddenly gotten a lot more interesting. Plus, the NCAA basketball tournament's coming up. Some player that you probably have never heard of is going to be the most famous person in sports for 12 to 48 hours at some point over the next couple weeks. And now they can actually cash in. I'm curious to see how that goes. So I called up Blake Lawrence, who's the CEO of Open Doors, also former Nebraska linebacker. And he came on and we talked all about what is happening in NIL from the deals with these collectives like Stuart wrote about, how the state laws are changing and how a lot of states want to change their laws now, and just about what the future might look like. And it's crazy because Blake actually kind of predicted the future during our interview. We recorded the interview early Monday morning, and in the afternoon on Monday, I get a text from Blake. He said, "Hey, I think I spoke something into existence." And what we'd been talking about was the Cavender twins at Fresno State. They're basketball players. Haley is the leading scorer in the Mountain West this past year. Hannah also scores a bunch of points. Haley averaged 19.8. Hannah averaged 17 points a game. So two really good sisters playing basketball. They played 3 years at Fresno State. And he said, look, these players are making money. Like, they're making deals. They got announced as champ sports athletes. They got flown on a private jet to LA to shoot a commercial recently. So they are, you know, pretty big brand names at this point. And they've decided they're going to enter the transfer portal. Haley Cavender tweeted that on Monday. So where are they going to wind up? Are they going to end up at a school that is maybe a bigger platform than Fresno State? We'll see. But it's going to be very interesting to see how that manifests itself, because, you know, we've seen it with Caleb Williams already going to USC. We're going to see it more with other players. I mean, it's pretty interesting, because even without NIL, I'm guessing these two players, because they're very good, would have been candidates to transfer, and I'm sure other coaches may have been reaching out behind the scenes trying to say, hey, you know, maybe, just maybe. But the NIL piece of it makes it even more interesting, and what is going on in football recruiting obviously is very interesting. And Blake and I kind of the same mind that deals like that one that Stuart wrote about, I'm not sure those are very smart deals for the people making them. The player signing it, he's taking a risk too, but it feels like there's a lot more risk on the other side. So we'll see how that goes. But Blake and I tend to agree they might be looking in the wrong position groups for this. There may be a chance to really cash in and grab somebody somewhere else. I think the big guys, maybe I'm just trying to help make the big guys some money, but also I think it's probably a little easier to predict whether they're going to be good or not, but we'll see. I mean, I think I'm going to run the numbers later this week and we'll see how that goes. I'm very curious what I find on that. But you know, Blake was kind of on the leading edge of this because he's been doing this with pro athletes, where basically he created an app that allows pro athletes and brands to connect with each other. If, you know, somebody wants to reach out to an NBA player and have them advertise their product, that's how that works. They can go through Blake's company, Open Doors, and do that. And it's very interesting how all this has evolved, because there is that, but there also is what's going on with the collectives, which that's not necessarily buying the brand. That's buying the player. And I don't have a problem with that. This is America. You're worth whatever somebody's willing to pay you. But I'm sure the folks who thought, oh, it'll just be, you know, doing some commercials and schools aren't going to be, of course they are. This is competitive. In college football, they have had website networks dedicated to ranking how well schools perform in acquiring talent. So of course this was going to happen. Again, I don't have a problem with it. I know some of you do, but it's going to keep happening because essentially it's the law in most states, or it's not the law. And Blake will get into that too, because where it's not the law is probably the most interesting kind of place. But a lot has changed even in the 9 months or so since these NIL state laws went live. So it's really interesting to check in with Blake. And as interesting as his NIL stuff is, stay for the Ndamukong Suh stories. Blake was a linebacker at Nebraska who played, you know, behind Ndamukong Suh. And let's just say Ndamukong Suh kept Blake's jersey real clean in a lot of games. So enjoy the interview with Blake. Try to guess who that college basketball player will be who becomes the most famous person in sports for 12 to 48 hours, and learn a little bit about the new world of college sports. Here with Blake Lawrence from Open Doors, the king of NIL, the guy who was doing NIL before anybody even knew what that was. Because Blake, you were a linebacker at Nebraska, right? You played with Prince Amukamara. Was it?
Yeah.
His situation you were trying to help out when he got in the NFL?
Yeah, certainly. A decade ago, started to build an app to help athletes manage name, image, and likeness rights, even before it was called NIL, right? It was just called Athlete Endorsements. And a buddy of mine, Prince Amukamara, got drafted. He needed help. And so we built this app so we could manage all this stuff. And never in my wildest dreams would you imagine a decade later that, you know, nearly 70,000 student athletes use Open Doors every day. And they're managing NIL activities, they're disclosing activities, they're getting paid, they're getting their tax information, they're signing contracts all through this simple app. Because, you know, most of these student athletes don't have an agent. And so they got to have something to manage all these things in one place. And Open Doors is becoming that solution for student athletes.
I feel like this is going to be the new version of the NCAA commercial. The 99% of them will go pro in something other than sports. It's going to be 99% of them don't have an agent, but... Yeah. We're going to end up talking about the 1% who do, because that's what you and I, we were texting before we started recording, and you're like, let me guess what you want to talk about.
Yeah, like, buddy.
Yep. So Stuart Mandel put out a story on Friday on The Athletic. He had gotten a chance to review a contract that was signed by a class of 2023 recruit, a five-star recruit, with one of these collectives that they're not officially attached to a school, but we all know they basically are. And it is a contract where he is selling his NIL rights lock, stock, and barrel. So it's not like he's making a deal with a brand. He is selling his rights to make those deals to another entity for a set price, where he gets a signing bonus of, I think, $350,000. He gets an amount this year and an amount in the net over the next 3 years after that. And what did you think when you saw that deal?
Well, first of all, Stu gave me a call on Friday afternoon. And he said, Blake, you're not going to believe this. I mean, we had to have a conversation about it. His sentiment is right. This is unbelievable to be 9 months into the NIL era and have progressed this far in terms of student athletes that are yet to play their senior year in high school. Being offered millions of dollars in NIL opportunities. And there's no precedent for something like this. And there's a lot of scrutiny of the purpose, the intent of this deal. What does it mean? Is this a direct violation of the NCAA's interim NIL policy on inducement? Right? Is this an inducement for an individual to attend a specific school? Is this market rate? Is this what is to be expected of high school prospects at the highest level? I mean, this is just a significant amount of questions pop up over those last 3 days as this market started to understand what does this mean for the future of college sports. So I guess we can answer many of those questions here today, as many as I can, or we can attempt to.
My biggest, like the market rate thing.
Yeah.
This market didn't exist before July 1st of last year. So who's to say what's market rate right now?
Yeah, certainly. And I don't think that this is something that, so there was potential at the beginning of all this NIL stuff that there would be scrutiny about how much an individual is being paid and having some sort of limits. There's no limits and there's no such thing as market rate. So the real impact on market rate is that if this is trend, then collectives at other schools must be prepared to offer $2 million a year to a five-star, you know, prospect. And that's what I mean by market rate. Did this market need to get this big this fast? Because $500,000 a year probably would have gotten the deal done.
Right.
$2 million just seems egregious, and it's going to race to the top.
Yeah, but look, I looked at this and I go, okay, you had all these kind of half measures because you're not going to let the schools pay them, blah, blah, blah. Is this not just them sort of filling in? Because it's really about what they think this person's worth as a football player.
Right.
Yeah. Not what they're worth as a brand, because they're buying this collective is buying the NIL rights. They're probably going to lose money on that. Like, that person is probably not going to book $8 million worth of deals over the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the balance of that is what they're worth as a football player. Now, me, as someone who has followed recruiting for a long time and knows the hit rate on certain positions, and I think, you know, I think this is a quarterback. I think we're talking about a quarterback, just educated guess here. I don't know that I'd be willing to promise too much up front. I just wouldn't.
Well, and the thing is that there is, when it comes to these types of agreements, and you know, position aside, just how do these things come together? You know, these collectives are, in essence, business entities, just like McDonald's is a business entity. In McDonald's, if they would like to do a deal with a 4-year deal worth $8 million with Bronny James, right? They could absolutely do that. There's no rules against that for McDonald's to do so. And so long as McDonald's does not have in the language of this agreement bonuses based on how many points he scores as a college athlete.
Or where he goes to school.
Or where he goes to school.
I believe this agreement basically just says you just need to be enrolled at a 4-year institution, and I think the entity can cancel it, or the collective can cancel it as soon as the person's not enrolled in a 4-year institution, which if you were transferred, there would be a gap in enrollment. Correct. So that would activate the period where they could cancel.
But the thing is, I think there's a lot of scrutiny. Like, is this legally, like, contractually different than a brand offering a high school athlete $8 million to be an ambassador? And it's actually contractually not different.
Right.
And so that's the challenge here, is that, like, from the letter of the law, these groups aren't silly. They understand what's going on. Yeah. There's likely to be that this contract is going to be permissible under the current guidelines, you know, in the state of wherever this is, and, you know, from the NCAA policy. So, yeah, then it comes down to what triggers, like, what if the student athlete doesn't attend a certain institution that the collective desires them to attend, or what happens if they show up and transfer? And I'll talk to you about the specifics of, like, how those things actually happen.
Yeah, that's what I am curious about, that, because I would think if the athlete does not attend the school that the collective thinks he's going to attend, but he still attends a big time school. This is what I'm really like. Could this happen where the collective's like, we wanted him to go to this school, but he's still pretty valuable to us at this other school? We're going to keep this up.
And this one's pretty simple, right? This is pretty simple for listeners out there. A lot of these collectives are basing deals on physical presence at NIL activities on a monthly or bi-monthly basis.
Right.
Right. So if a student athlete has signed a long-term agreement with the collective, they have a really, like, every 2-week or 4-week check-in where they have to make a physical appearance in a certain market, sign autographs, you know.
So if you're playing somewhere else, you can't physically show up in that
market. You'd have to get a flight back, right? And so if you are not physically present, then that is cause for termination, like if you do not fulfill the obligations of the agreement. So that makes it rather simple to understand that if you just happen to go to a different school, then you will never receive the compensation that you would have received for being present at an event that is happens to be nearby a college campus. So that's the transfer thing. The real question is what happens if he's not very good.
Listen, the hit rate on, let's say he's a quarterback, five-star right. quarterbacks, is about 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually high. That's on the high end. The five stars tend to pan out more often than the others. But it's 50%. You are rolling the dice that this guy is going to be. And look, all you need to look at is the national champions, the reigning national champions, where they had a five-star player who, you know, originally signed with USC, JT Daniels. Mm-hmm. He's there. He gets hurt. Stetson Bennett comes in. Stetson Bennett leads him to the national title.
Right.
Stetson Bennett was not – if Stetson Bennett came out of high school right now, nobody's handing him this deal. JT Daniels, they are. But yep. that's what you get. And now Bryce Young, he panned out.
Right.
Same thing.
So I would say that some of this is signaling as well. I would say that there's a benefit to those schools who have a well-informed collective in their market that is showing the world that if you are interested in this school, you will be supported with NIL opportunities. And that's one of the challenges is that so many of these schools, they cannot be directly involved in any which way in communicating with collectives or setting up these conversations. And many of these collectives, like, it requires a highly sophisticated, intelligent sports marketer on the other end that knows the game. And there are early winners. Now, there will be, by the end of this year, every single Division I Power 5 school will have a collective in their market, and it will be marketed and it'll be known, as long as these are the current policies and guidelines that exist. But right now, the early movers are winning, and the early movers are winning the 2023 recruits in terms of football and basketball, because they're able to speak directly to what it means from an NIL opportunity standpoint in their market.
Yeah, that's the part that's really interesting to me, is it's not necessarily, because everybody thinks it is the schools that are currently winning, that currently have the most, and these are the schools that are organized and have the most money do have an advantage. But David Ubbin did a story on the collective that is servicing Tennessee right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's not had a ton of success, but they have a highly motivated fan base, you know, highly motivated, all this. So that type of school, I do wonder, can they get some guys? I can think of your alma mater, Nebraska.
Right.
Arkansas is a school like that, where there's a highly motivated fan base, lots of money in the area. There are several schools that just sort of pop. Texas, necessarily successful on the field, highly motivated, highly organized.
Yep.
Like, I do wonder, will they get some players away from the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Ohio States?
I think money talks. And for this era of college football recruiting, the NIL dollar flow at a school is just as important as facilities, as important as head coach, as important as traditions, because it is now a known fact that there are certain markets where there is compensation to be had. And it is going to be very difficult for fan bases and coaches in markets where there is not an established collective or entity that is helping support student athlete opportunities in the market to recruit against those schools. And that's where we are. So it's those schools you mentioned, Texas, you mentioned Tennessee, you mentioned Nebraska. You know, there are some key markets here where they've been not just, out there in terms of collectives and support from that, you know, donor group, but operational, right? So many, like, at each market every other week is a new collective is popping up, right?
And, right.
But many of these collectives are in the foundation phase. Like, they're trying to get started. They're not either fundraising, they're not operational. Meanwhile, those that are operational, that were early movers in this space, like, they're truly putting dollars in kids' pockets in exchange for bona fide compliant NIL activities. I mean, there's really no shake in this, that there has to be a legitimate exchange of value in order to receive compensation. And the good ones are doing it right. And they're just saying, hey, this is an autograph signing, there's an appearance, like, let's go hang out with kids and read books at a elementary school. And there's no college sports fan that, if you actually looked behind the scenes and figured out what the student athletes are doing to get compensated, you'd be proud of it, right? These are kids that are actually going to the community, or they're interacting with fans on podcasts, Zoom calls, signing autographs, and giving things away. Like these are very valuable things that used to happen in the community for free. And now student athletes are being compensated for out. There's much complaints out there. If you really look under the covers and see what's happening.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like we don't see a lot of it. A lot of the things I actually saw a Marshall player. This was just retweeted onto my timeline, a Marshall player doing something for a car dealership. And I thought about that and I was like, I really expected to see more of this. But it doesn't seem like all of it is getting into the public sphere.
It's hyper local. And I mean, I think that if you are in a college town, you might see it or feel it more often, right?
I live in a tiny college town. I'm in Gainesville, Florida. When I go with my son,
there's like 10 collectives in Florida.
Yeah.
Andy,
Well, when I go with my son to the baseball card shop, because he loves football cards. Yeah. When we go there, there is a giant table of Anthony Richardson signed merchandise.
Right.
On the table. So yeah. I mean, you do see it, but. I really thought we would see more of it. And I didn't think like national, although I think this NCAA tournament week, we'll probably see a little more national stuff this week.
Right, exactly. And I think that's kind of a good transition into the different types of NIL compensation out there. I mean, there are the donors and these collectives that are really the largest source of NIL compensation in the market because they're their intents and access to capital is quite different than anyone else. Right. Like the brands and sponsors of, collegiate athletic departments and events and whatnot, and advertisers. I mean, if they want to activate a student athlete, there are lots of hoops to jump through. I mean, we've been doing this for a decade here, and I could tell you that there are things that are happening now that the very first time the brand came to us to talk about an activation around March Madness was 6 months ago. Right. So these things don't happen in six days or six minutes. Like these are 6 month type of things. And that's what it takes for the big dollars to move quick. Now there's some things that we can expect to see around March Madness that'll be very new to most college sports fans.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
I saw you did a list of your favorite NIL deals, like the Paige Bueckers Gatorade deal. I assume we're going to see a lot of Paigey buckets over the next few weeks, and not just because UConn is probably going to go deep in the tournament.
Yeah. Well, is it Timmy over at Gonzaga, right?
Yeah, Drew Timmy. Yeah.
So Drew Timmy, he's got the chinfluencer. I think it's like with Harry's. He's a chinfluencer. So we'll probably see some promotions on social media with some of those guys that. And that's an interesting thing too, like those athletes that, gosh, it's been a while since the national media's talked about Drew, or that I've seen Drew Timmy, right?
Because the last time I heard anybody talk about Drew Timmy nationally was in the national title game when he tried to do the goatee thing when they're down like 20, and you're like, no, dude, you can't do that.
Right. But now he's gonna be thrust back in the spotlight. Maybe people are like, oh, that's him. And so those are the types of athletes that should get national brand advertisers' attention. It's national, it's Women's History Month, right? Celebrate Women's Month. And so there's some women's basketball opportunities out there. H&R Block just committed $1 million, a year in NIL opportunities to women's sports. Champs Sports is coming. No, it's Champion. Champion just put together a lineup of, a dozen or so women's athletes that they should be activating on social media. So it'd be interesting to see what you see on traditional television, like what you're seeing in the national ads. Because so much of that, in order to get a student athlete to film a national commercial, you would have to have picked that athlete before basketball season started.
Right. And it's sort of like, it's just like having Nick Saban in your Aflac commercial. Like, he and Dion are filming those over the summer.
Right.
They're not
doing it right in the middle of season.
They're not breaking from practice to do it. So
right. And that becomes a challenge because as you get closer to March Madness, it becomes more clear to advertisers who is valuable. But as you get closer to March Madness, it becomes more clear to coaches that these kids need to stay locked in. And so that's always the balance is like these near-term activations. So you are likely to see athletes that are going to show up in by the end of the tournament that had a great first weekend and were eliminated.
Yeah. This is what I'm interested in because this is the first time this has been a possibility. Like Finis Dembo didn't get this. Bryce Drew didn't get this. Ali Farouk Manesh didn't get this. But
right. You
can become a household name for 12 to 48 hours.
Right.
Where everybody in the whole country sees you multiple times on national television over and over again for a 2-day period.
Right.
If I am Ali Farouk Manesh and I just torched Kansas and it's now and I can do something about that, what do I do?
I would keep an eye on the company Breaking Tea. Breaking Tea is an example of quick movers, right? And so Breaking Tea has got a program set up where they can quick turn activate these athletes. So imagine that Farouk Manesh, you know, beats Kansas. He's a legend still today, but he could sell 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 t-shirts in 48 hours of that win, right? With his name, image, and likeness. And all that takes for him is to sign like one piece of paper that gives Breaking Tea the rights to use his NIL on these shirts.
Full disclosure, my former SI coworker, Don Bombasuto, involved with Breaking Tea.
Yeah. Right.
Peter King's personal editor and then figured out this amazing concept of you can crank t-shirts when a moment happens.
Correct. And so I think you should expect to see that. If you open up Instagram right now and you're scrolling through and you're a sports fan, you might see ads for Breaking Tea promoting Gonzaga t-shirts and, you know, showing different student athletes NIL and name on the back of the jersey, Gonzaga on the front. Like those are things that are an advantage to, you know, schools and states without laws that allow them to combine school rights and student athlete rights.
That was another question is how different is it based on the states with no laws? Basically it's no laws when you're drinking claws for NIL, right? Like you can do pretty much anything you want because the NCAA just said, follow your state law, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, you know, in these states where there is no state law, then the schools have policies. They have to comply with the four things the NCAA says. Like the schools can't pay the kids. It can't be an inducement. It can't be performance-based pay. And there must be proof that the activity occurred, right? Those are the four rules. Other than that, they can combine the school's IP with the student athlete's IP, make a jersey. They can put trading cards out there. They can do a lot of different things. So those are some advantages in those states. But here's some really challenging things that are happening. You know, when in certain states, Andy, like we had a national advertiser that was looking to do something big around March Madness and they wanted to spend in the seven figures on student athletes and NIL. That's a pretty big figure.
Yeah.
And their vision was that, you know, in between a Thursday game and a Saturday game or a Friday and a Sunday game, you know, they could activate those athletes if they won their first game. So they could have them record a video, say thank you, that sort of thing. And then we started to break down the different challenges of doing so. Because the minute that these student athletes leave their campus, they're on call, basically. They're on call. They're on a trip representing the college that they play for. And many school policies do not allow those student athletes to monetize while they're on call.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And even state laws, like let's say that Paige Beckers, if she, you know, the Connecticut state law would not allow her to record a podcast and get paid for it or do a video shout out for a fan or sign autographs while representing the university. And that's from the minute she leaves campus to the minute she gets back on Sunday evening.
Wow. That is very interesting. And now if I'm at a school that doesn't have that policy or in a state that doesn't have that in the law, I'm using that as a recruiting tactic saying they're taking money out of your pocket because you're going to miss the time when you could take advantage of it the most.
I want you to visualize a hotel lobby in one of these host cities.
I've been there.
Right? Yeah. And I'm sure. And you can imagine that on one side of the lobby is a row of tables of you know, the team that just won the day prior, and they're just signing autographs, getting paid, signing autographs, getting paid, signing autographs, getting paid. On the other side is the team that they're playing, you know, the very next day, that is not by their own state law allowed to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And like that's some of the inequities and the challenges with having these different state rules, is that, you know, one group of student athletes have all the advantages and opportunities, and student athletes that happen to go to a school in a state where the legislators just copy and paste it from one other state, and didn't really think about the impact.
Pick the wrong state. Yeah.
They just picked the wrong state. And like, that is going to be used in recruiting until these state laws are.
Also, I talked to Chip LaMarca, who is the Florida state rep who championed that bill. I talked to him on the December signing day for football, and he's like, yeah, we got to change the law now, because it's gotten to where Florida, state of Florida, they feel like they can't compete.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. The state legislators that put these laws in effect did so to force the NCAA's hand. And the NCAA's hand actually got forced by the Supreme Court. Unknowingly. So the timing was very interesting of that. But now those states that rush to pass laws that in effect grant the student athletes the rights to monetize NIL are at a disadvantage because those rules are over restrictive. Like, student athletes don't need to be given the right to monetize NIL, right?
Right. It's a basic economic right that everyone had.
Correct. It's a great part of the American economics. So those student athletes now should go and petition, say, hey, take these rules away. Like, now to have balance and have the same standard across the country, you should actually remove all state laws.
Right. The schools want a federal law, but that's to restrict things further. They're not going to get it with this Congress, and they may never get it because you'd have to have a Congress motivated enough to even bother passing it.
Yeah, correct. And again, this is something that there's so much more happening on Capitol Hill. I mean, a year ago, it was possible. Right now, it's improbable, and it's not even necessary. Right? The free market is actually helping the NCAA and its member institutions, whether they like it or love it or hate it and want to leave it. Like, it is helping them not have to answer questions about, like, who's going to pay these kids. The kids are getting paid, right? And so any one that is a proponent of student athletes receiving their fair share of the market should be a fan of whomever is busting out the checkbook and paying these student athletes, right? Because they're earning that compensation by either being highly valuable in what they're doing for a community or for a sports program, highly marketable for what they're doing for a national advertiser, or highly engaged for what they're doing in terms of changing fans' lives and giving up something to cheer for.
Well, I'm curious about this too, because I've talked to some people, you know, on the school side who are concerned because they feel like, and you know, obviously the schools can't be directly involved with the collectives, but, you know, info gets passed back and forth and finds its way. And it's interesting to me because the collectives are, you know, at the highest level, agents are involved. You mentioned that most of them don't have agents, but a lot of them do at the highest level.
Your revenue sports, starting athletes in revenue sports have an agent for sure.
Yeah.
And then for different reasons too, like truly for different reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, it's very similar to what you see in the coaching market, where the coaches' agents basically pump up the market by telling the ADs, hey, my guy can get this here, and the ADs believe them. And in the collectives, I don't know. I think there are probably some very savvy business people in here, but this is a new market. Like this, well, I say new. This market existed below decks for a long time. But now that it's above ground, it there's more money involved. So I'm curious, when do the corrections start? How many transactions must take place before you get what a private employer would like? For example, if I went to the Athletic when my next contract is up and I said, you got to give me $1 million a year or I'm going to go to company X because they're going to give me that much.
Yep.
The Athletic would go, you go take that, because they would know what I was doing. One of two things: either I'm lying or the other company's overpaying, because that's not what the market is for someone who does what I do.
Yep.
When do these guys have enough transactions to figure out what that market is?
I'm going to take your analogy and I'll give you a couple. If you went to glassdoor.com and you found out that somebody that has your same job at another company is compensated twice as much, that would help you in your negotiation, right?
Yes, correct.
And then if you are an employer and you're looking to hire someone like you, and then you want to know what the market rate for someone like you is, you go to glassdoor.com and figure that out. Okay. And that is called, we'll take the same analogy into Zillow. Same thing. Like anyone that's listening that's ever bought a home, right? It helps you to go Zillow and figure out what your neighbor's house, sold for, what the house is down the street sold for. So you can get a range, like what is right.
But this is more like private employers, because it's not necessarily now Glassdoor people can volunteer that information.
Correct.
But I don't know how many people are going to be volunteering this information.
Well, what if there were a technology platform that was aggregating tens of thousands of NIL transactions that actually knew the market rate for every individual, what they should be getting compensated?
Correct.
Right. And so what you're talking about earlier is in a lot of these agent driven markets, whether it's real estate, whether it's talent representation, right? Information asymmetry is what boosts up one side, right? Basically makes one side overpay always and one side underdeliver always. Right. Yeah. But the agent wins. It happens in travel agencies.
They need transactions. Media. They win because there's a transaction.
Correct. And it benefits all of them to not reveal what the actual market rate is, because then the rate can always be whatever they want to be. And so that's a challenge here, is because if this is how this market goes, like there will be one athlete that gets paid a hefty amount that underperforms, underdelivers. Now that agent benefits from the transaction, that athlete wins, but the market loses. And so that's where technology over the last 20 years has really progressed to a world where people, if you want to know the price of something, you go look it up. And that will apply to NIL. It will apply because of a company like Opendoor is actually taking information and just educating the market. Like, you want to support an athlete, here's what it costs. Like, here's what the average athlete gets for this. And that's really going to help not just the buyer, but also the seller. Because I can tell you one thing, these athletes and their parents and the people around them have no idea what is good or bad. And again, like, we're on a mission over at Opendoors to make sure that this industry is not propped up by information asymmetry, but the world knows, what it costs to support athletes, where to go to support athletes, and how to do it compliantly.
Well, I'm curious. So the deal you guys just did with Oregon, mm-hmm. how much of that was based on the law in the state of Oregon? Because they actually have a piece of their website where you can go and through you guys contact their athletes about deals.
Right. You're right. So that's something Opendoors is really an NIL marketplace. It allows you to go and browse, build, book deals with athletes from, the top of the top, like a Blake Griffin or Steph Curry or anyone like that, down to a student athlete on your favorite, like, local D2 school. Right. But it streamlines this process, and it's a third party. So it's not actually, the schools have no control over, and that allows us to operate like this. So it's actually built for the athletes at that school. And then we will secure the rights to the school's marks to put them on the site to tell fans in that community, like, this is the official NIL marketplace of the Oregon Ducks. Anything that they do to transact with the athletes there is going to be disclosed. It's compliant. It's protected. It's supported. It's secure. And so that's going to be the new standard, right? If you are a sports fan and you want to go buy merchandise from your favorite college sports team, Fanatics has built up this own portal, right, for the Florida Gators. And you can go for Florida Gators gear all day.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Collegiate Licensing Company was the one that first started that.
Right.
Started by Bill Battle, former Tennessee football coach.
Yeah.
It's like all these football coaches and players doing all this stuff. He started that. You're starting this. I mean, come on.
Yeah. We're just trying to make it easy, man. The sports fandom. The one thing that shouldn't be hard is where do I go to support these athletes? And we're working our tails off to make sure that's easy. And then once you get there, what can I do? Right. And that's like where you can streamline and say, here's the athletes, here's the activities, and then what does it cost? And so all those things are really the check boxes this industry needs. There's parallels in other industries. So sports fans are, can pull up, sit on their couch at home, pull up DoorDash and order food from any restaurant in the city and have it show up within an hour. Like, that's a pretty valuable solution. And we believe that Opendoors is doing the same. It's not meal delivery, it's deal delivery.
Deal delivery. There you go. I like that. There you go, baby. This is why you're at the top of the marketing game. That sort of witty patter right there is,
yeah,
it's critical.
So, yeah, we need it, man. Yeah, I'm a real good play on words kind of guy. That's why I stick to.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
I'm curious where you think this, because everybody's, you know, you get people freaking out. I know when Stewart's story came out the other day, everybody's, you know, shocked and appalled. I'm not shocked. I've seen the coaches' salaries. I see what they pay for facilities that they don't need to be renovating. Like,
yeah,
I know how much money is in the deal. Like,
right,
there wouldn't be so many cranes on college campuses if people were losing money.
Correct. And one of the common things is like, oh no, what's going to happen to the college athletic departments if donors are giving the dollars to the kids? They will still build nice facilities. They will still have great coaches, because if you're a school that has the best coach, the best facilities, and the best NIL opportunities, like, you're going to check all three boxes and win. Like, if you're a school that has to sacrifice one for the other, man, we got a bad coach, but our facilities are great, right? It doesn't win. You have to have all three now. Like, and NIL is one that will be sexy and fun to talk about. In some strange way, it's going to take some of the focus off, or maybe eventually put more focus on how much these college coaches get paid. Right.
Well, I think it will. And it also will, because I've said this a million times about the coaching market, the salary market for coaches. Like, I think Nick Saban is actually worth $35 million a year.
I think that there's Nick so Saban many fan bases that
whatever he wants.
Infinite.
There's a bunch of guys going 7-5 or 8-4 who are getting between $4 and $6 million a year, who are replacement level coaches. You could pay them $2 million, or you could pay somebody $2 million to get the same result.
Danny, there's nowhere for the money to go, man. Like, there's just like the money is going to flow into a coach's salary or into a facility, like into more staffers to do essentially, you know, it's going to go somewhere. Right. Yeah. And, now, if less dollars flow into college athletic departments and more to college athletes, I don't think that anyone will complain. I really don't believe that there are some fringe level collegiate athletic departments that could see an impact that will lead to maybe letting somebody go or not activating that facility build for a while. And I would imagine these are mostly Division I basketball campuses without football.
Right.
That's what they are. And they count every dollar. They count every penny because they don't have the machine of college football behind them. But end of the day, like, there's not many that will complain if they have 1-2% of their annual budget shift to the student athletes. And that means they might get more student athletes that can help them win championships, which will increase that revenue line by an umpteen amount percentage above what they lost.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I can't wait to see it all shake out because, you know, that deal we were talking about at the beginning of the show, I don't know if it's going to wind up being a good deal for the player, a good deal for the... Because the thing is that the player's awesome and is like a Heisman Trophy winner. It's actually probably not a great deal.
Right.
But if the player stinks, it's a great deal for the player and a terrible deal for the people who made it.
And so it goes, man. What a great thing in the free market, right? Like, just take risks, reward those, and make bets. And I think that there is the best outcome from this is the conversation around how big and how fast and how real the opportunities will be for student athletes and revenue sports at big campuses across the country, and how much is needed to have a formalized support system around those campuses. Right, there's a lot of complaints out there, Andy, right now about the fairness or is what the heck, can you even do that? Is that allowed? Right. And it's really just from people that weren't set up right. Like, the end of the day, like, if you know this market, you are supportive of the student athlete, you should be championing and celebrating. Right. Anyone that's out there asking for collective bargaining agreements and saying, oh, this is too much too soon. Like, what are you trying to protect? Like, in a free market, the most valuable assets get the most attention and they get the most dollars, right? They generate the most revenue. And sometimes those are people. And those people are going to get compensated from someone, somewhere, somehow. This student athlete, $8 million, not even a senior in high school. That is a bet, a gamble. But it's also a shift in where college sports is going. And it's going to, we'll look back 5-10 years from now and be like, man, imagine that everyone was up in arms about that. And it's just commonplace.
Well, it's I tell my kids this as they get older and they're going to, you know, start getting jobs as, you know, as they become teenagers, and you're worth whatever someone is willing to pay you.
Correct.
And it's not my money. And if you want to spend $8 million on a high school football player, well, it's not, probably not the investment I'd make, but it's your money.
Hey, man, they will. We will know soon enough, right? Who it is, what it's for, what it means, and where it goes. But there is enough passionate people out there that have this irrational support of their favorite sports program at their favorite school. I mean, $3 billion a year is just donated to college athletic departments. $3 billion. So that's 15-16% of all NCAA revenues, like, from athletic departments, come from donors.
Yeah.
And it's just for the hope that they return to prominence or they stay at that championship level. And if the athletes share in that, I'm yet to find somebody that's really upset about it.
No. And I actually think Brett Kavanaugh put it really well in his opinion. It wasn't the majority opinion. It was the one he spun off on the side in the Alston case, but he's like, you don't go to a restaurant 'cause they pay the waiters less. Like, that isn't a reason for you to like the restaurant.
Right.
You probably don't want a doctor who's paid less. You're like, yeah, I want the cheaper doctor. I want the dude who makes less. Like, no. I don't want that person.
No,
I want the highest salaried person operating on me.
That's so. Right, man. Yep. And when you can pick the chef, you know, you're going to have your favorite restaurant cooking up whatever meal you want. And if you pick a bad chef, there's a good thing. There's another class of chefs every year, right? And this analogy is going to die on the vine. But I'll tell you that's kind of where this is. Like, those that have the ability to commit $8 million to something, there's another $8 million in their bank account. I promise you that.
Right. Yeah.
This is not the last dollar that these donors are given. In fact, it's for those listening, the reality is this is rounding error type money for some of these individuals. And
well, I'm going to give them a hint. I'm going to give them a tip right now. If you're going to do this, spend it on offensive tackles and defensive tackles. The hit rate is higher,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get more out of it.
Can you imagine the day when this is offensive tackle money, like, that we're talking about?
It's not an accident that the NFL salary scale
favors
quarterbacks make the most and left tackles make the second most.
Yep.
It's not an accident.
That's right. It's not as fun, not as sexy, right, to imagine that you're going to be hosting the offensive line over your house rather than the starting quarterback when you're starting to show off to other donors. But end of the day, that's how you build a valuable team is you have the foundation, the cornerstones, and offensive linemen aren't a sexy pick, but they are often the difference makers in these national championships.
You love those three techniques, keeping those big dudes off you when you play linebacker.
Yeah, I didn't mind an Ndamukong Suh in front of me. Like I would go find one of those.
That's not even fair.
No, I know. It was like a cheat code, man.
Did anybody ever hit you like on a trap or anything? He's probably just using one hand to grab the other guy to keep him from getting you.
Yeah, we had this technique called heavy, and he would line up over the guard, and like his entire goal every play was to take the guard, smash him into the center, and he would fill two gaps. And like if you can remove two gaps with one person, you're cheating. And there are a lot of times that he would do that, then go make the play too. So like we had a lot of guys running free at Nebraska with Ndamukong Suh in front of us.
What a deal. I always, when I talk to people who played offensive line or played, you know, in on the line, one of the shocking realizations when you go up levels, like my favorite play in high school was any play where I got to dip under the dude who's in front of me and just crush a linebacker.
Oh yeah.
And then you get to college and the first time you try to do that, the D tackle just grabs you and throws you somewhere and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Guess who's making the tackle on this play?
You know, it's funny because, like, that's not talked about enough, like, in just regular sports fandom, is that a lot of times these defensive linemen, like, why aren't they making the play every time? Like, why don't they make the tackles? Like, no, they don't have to make the tackle to make the play. Like, they're basically supposed to, like, occupy as many of the offensive linemen. Yeah, correct. They're like a defensive blocker in a way. And it's very rarely called, but, like, there's certain times when, you know, he would just hold on to people, right? And just make sure they couldn't go block him. And
right. you can actually call holding on that play, but no one ever calls it.
Right, correct. Defensive holding is rare on the offensive lineman, right? But it does happen every once in a while. And next time you see it, like, oh, that's what they're doing, right? It's wild.
That's the most dominant player that I've seen at the college level in my lifetime. Yeah. Is Ndamukong Suh. All right, maybe Orlando Pace when I was mm-hmm. high school, college, but I was at the Texas game, the Big 12 title game, and it is that's the single most dominant performance I've ever seen by a football player.
It was fun, man. I mean, it was great to have him on our team. Like, and I really truly glad he's on our team because when the game started, he was one of the most aggressive individuals. Like, there's a couple of plays, like, you know, he'd make the play. I'd come up and I'd pop him in the back of the helmet. Hey, Sue, you know, and he'd turn around and just give me those eyes. It's like, don't hit me, bro.
I'm
like,
okay.
God dang. All right. Well, again, glad you're on my team. And to imagine he's still out there and playing at a high, high level.
Well, and that's the thing. Ndamukong Suh was a valuable recruit. He was a 4-star recruit out of Portland, Oregon.
Yep.
He looked at Mississippi State because his sister played soccer there. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, collectives right now, four high 4-star and 5-star D tackles, much higher hit rate than the QBs.
Yeah. You know what's interesting?
You will be happy if you do that.
Andy, think about this too. These collectives either have to be super informed on this market or they're going to start to pay for inside tips and secrets from these recruiting services. Right?
Well, and it's similar to the agent world. I mean, I've talked to player agents about this. Like, they have to be really good talent evaluators.
Yeah.
Or they go out of business.
Right.
Because if it's the guys who can get obvious first rounders, that's one thing. But you got to be able to find guys that you can get on while they're in college and you can say, I know you may grow into a third to fifth rounder and take an NFL paycheck, which is going to allow me to keep doing my business.
Right.
So collectives are going to have to figure out how to work the same way.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, that they most often or likely rely on their coaches to indicate who is of interest. But I'll tell you, there will be a day mm-hmm. when the collectives and coaches disagree on.
That's what I was wondering about that because they've made a big deal. The collective has already made the deal. The player's there. It may not even be the coach that the player signed with now. And the coach goes, I just don't think he's good enough.
Right. And then guess what? Your collective might run dry. Like your next pick. Like, so there is a challenge when you think about like the professional sports level where you have the general manager and the scouts versus the coach.
Yep.
And sometimes that coach is just going to be handed the cards that were dealt, you know, by the general manager, and it's not really up to them.
It's funny because that drives me crazy about the NFL.
Right.
Like Bill Belichick does it exactly like a college coach does.
Yeah.
But not many organizations are going to let their head coach do that. And now the college coaches are going to have to feel more like the NFL coaches.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is what the GM gave me.
Yeah. And then they're also literally in many states not allowed to be privy at all to like what's happening. And they may be aware, like awareness and involvement is a really thin line between the two.
So sort of like playing for the Jags when they drafted Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
Jack Del Rio told that story. Like he's in the cafeteria when they trade up to draft Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
And no one told him. Like, so it's going to be like that. Game.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be, man. And it could be. And I think that's going to be interesting when coaches, let's say that it gets away. Like, cause I'm assuming that most of the time, the quarterback prospect for a coaching staff is known, right? It's just known. This
right.
is what we're going after,
yeah.
right? They only offer three or four kids in a class. Like, so it's probably one of those three or four. So that makes it a little easier for.
We're talking about this like it's new, Blake.
Right.
This has all happened before.
Right, so. Right. It's true. But then when you get down roster, we're talking about like a two-star, three-star offensive lineman, defensive tackle, and a collective like happens to have a line on some kid down in some market that's like, hey, I'm going to go, like my cousin is down here. I'm going to offer him this. Then you get a coach gets a call from a collective and say, hey, this kid's going to – I just offered him this package to come here. Like we haven't even offered that kid. Like, well, he's coming here.
Here's another one. What if it's the collective just loves a kid because there is a potential to make money? Like they are this is right. a kid with a huge social media following,
yeah.
big personality who if they hit, then the collective, which has purchased that kid's NIL rights
right.
outright, can actually turn a profit off of it.
But the
kid can't play.
right. I mean, there's some TikTok stars out there like that do make hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're student athletes. They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars for no reason related to sports. And
like Will Greer's brothers, who
there you go, Nash
didn't
Greer.
Play football yep. or I think stopped playing football because they got massively huge on Vine. Right. Somebody might have signed those guys just to make some dough.
Here's what I would say. Another thing that sports fans have to get used to is that with the transfer portal and NIL, if you are hypothetically, like if you're the Cavender twins out at Fresno State, like Fresno State's been incredibly supportive of what they're doing, right? But Cavender right, twins
well,
are
they should be.
Two women's
basketball
players. Talk
about Fresno State basketball otherwise.
Yeah, they're all conference. Like they're great basketball players, and but they are they've got to be in the millions of dollars now. Like there was a deal a couple weeks ago they did through Open Doors where they negotiated a private jet like in as part of the deal. Okay, like so they got, yeah. I'm not kidding.
The wrong business.
Yeah, buddy. They got paid to hop on a private jet, film a commercial, to post to TikTok, and this company paid for their jet from Fresno to LA and back.
Sweet,
it's awesome, man. But when you think about that, like, what's to stop them from entering the transfer portal and testing and seeing, like, maybe there is a collective out there that would be like, well, if we got them to this market, like, we know that if we did the same deal structure, like. There's some arbitrage opportunities here, like pay this and make this. Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is whoever's getting them is getting them for the brand. They're good players.
And they're ballers too, right? Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Now, would they improve South Carolina is the question.
Right.
Which already has great players.
Correct. Yeah, I guess probably the underlying thing here, and he's like, if I were a student athlete and I were elite, which I guess is not hypothetical, right?
You were a starter at Nebraska. That's pretty damn elite.
So. But like, let's say that your starting offense or defense enters the transfer portal after every semester, like after every season, because it's like free agency. And like, if they are given opportunities to go elsewhere, then they can leverage that to stay. Or if they're given opportunities to stay, they can leverage it to go elsewhere. It's just interesting to think that like what Caleb Williams did to going from Oklahoma to USC, and staying in the portal long enough to have speculation and national media attention, like all of those things drive
like
up.
They
his
dropped
value.
The Wisconsin crumbs, and
they just drive up his value. And they, so these guys at the high level, they're represented by agents that know how to play the market. They've done the same thing with an NFL quarterback when it hits free agency, like that. These are the different wants and wishes. They're just doing the same thing with, you know, 6 years earlier with high school college kids, which is nuts. But new world, man, new world. We're all living in it. We're going to break it down, make sure people know what to do, where to go, what it costs.
It's amazing. And I imagine there'll be some deals done over your app over the next couple of weeks that with some folks who had no idea they were going to be famous today.
Yeah. March Madness is good for them, man. Excited for it.
Blake Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy.
That is Blake Lawrence from Open Doors. Excellent guest. He's such a fascinating thing to talk about because all of this is changing kind of as we speak. The markets are defining themselves as we speak, and we don't really know where all of it's going to land. And everybody's just kind of flying blind, and we'll see what happens. But it will be fascinating, especially will be fascinating as we watch the NCAA basketball tournament this week. And of course, because it is NCAA tournament week, basically Ari and I would be fired as podcasters if we did not present you with some sort of bracket. It's in the rules. It's in our contracts. We have to do it. So on Wednesday, the college football cliche bracket. It's going to be amazing. The committee is meeting right now to seed the cliches. All I'm going to say is, if Stars Matter is not a one seed, Ari's going to be really, really ticked. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.